Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you will find 15 lines from the top of Daf Chof. Klal Omru B'Yavama. The following is a rule that's stated with regard to the mitzvah of Ibum. Kol Shisura Isur Erva. Any situation that the relationship between the surviving brother and the widow is a forbidden relationship, an erva, a woman who is forbidden to marry. Loi choletzis v'lo mishabes. When we speak about an iser erva, we're talking about relatives that are strictly forbidden, and inevitably we're talking about those that carry with them a very severe penalty for one who does cohabit with them. It's a penalty along the lines of kores. So if that is the widow, and she survives her husband along with a co-wife, as we learned at the beginning of the Masichta, the erva is obviously not going to participate in Yibum, nor the co-wife. So when we say she's exempt, there's no chalitza and there is no Yibum. There are other kinds of prohibitions that will be featured: Isur Mitzvah, the Isur Kedusha. These will be explained later in the Mishnah. You have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven leaves a widow, and she's prohibited in marriage to Shimon based on her being either an Isur Mitzvah or an Isur Kedusha. So, what is the procedure? Chayletzes v'lo misyabemes. The shoe removal ceremony takes place in order to release her from the bond, but she is not allowed to marry the surviving brother. You might note in our Mishnah we've used some underlining. The first category, the Isa Erva, was Lo Choletzes V'lo Misyabemes. The second category, the Beis category, was Choletzes, the underlined Choletzes V'lo Misyabemes. And here's a third level, Achoisa Shehi Avimta, Choletzes Oy Misyabemes. Both options are open. Now, what is the case of Achosa Shiavimto? So here we have a chart, that a diagram that you can see on the side of the Gemara. There's a double-starred chart or diagram entitled Achosa Shiavimto. So we see there that Leah has a daughter, Dina. And there are three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven is married to Leah, Shimon to Rachel, and Levi married to Dina. If we look at this chart, can anyone see clearly who Levi's mother-in-law is? Of course, you can see that it's Leah. So now, Reuven and Shimon, these are brothers. When they die, they leave two widows. Reuven leaves Leah, Shimon leaves Rachel. Levi, a surviving brother. And we should point out, by the way, that Leah has a daughter, but that would have to be from a previous marriage. It's not, Reuven himself did not produce children. So Reuven and Shimon die without leaving any children. Levi is then the Yavam. Now, there are two sisters that are right now in the Yibum position, Leah and Rachel. Levi has no chance of doing Yibum with Leah. That's his mother-in-law. So you have what otherwise, if Leah was not Levi's mother-in-law, you would have two sisters that would have fallen to Yibum, and he could not marry, he couldn't do Yibum with either one, because each one is called Achois Zukukaso, is the sister of someone who is connected to him. However, in this case, Leah is not Zukuka to Levi, because she's not connected to Levi in the Yibum sense, because that is his mother-in-law. So you have two sisters that, as the Mishnah says, Achoisa Shiyavimta, there are two sisters, and one of them, only one of them, is relevant in the mitzvah of Yibum in this particular case. So, with regard to Rachel, we say that she can either do Chalitza or Yibum. She's the only relevant woman in terms of Yibum. So that's what the Mishnah means in a very, in its very terse fashion. Achoisa Shehi Yevimta does Chalitza or Yibum. If we look at Rashi, Achoisa Shel Erva, the sister of an Erva, Kshi Yevimta, when she is a Yevoma, Kegoin Shenafli Shte Achoyus Mishne Achim, Hoachas Asur Mishum Erva, Kegoin Shehi Kaloso Chamosa. We use the example of Chamosa, mother-in-law. So that as a result of one of those two sisters not being relevant to the mitzvah of Yibum because she is a forbidden woman to the Yavam, so her sister is relevant, and therefore, choletzes o misyabemes. Now, the Mishnah defines the terms used before, Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha, concerning whom we said there is chalitza, but no Yibum. Isur Mitzvah equals shniyos midivrei sofrim. These are ladies that are midivrei sofer means they're also midirabbanan. Shnios is a means like a second level. It's not primary level prohibition. It's a bit removed. It's removed from the primary level. Exactly what shnios are, that will be the topic of a Gemara later on in this perek. We will not be delving into that today, however. So they are relatives, they are women, that are Osir Midurabonan. When we speak about an Isur Durabonan, you always have to bear in mind that from a Torah standpoint, she's completely fit for Yibum. And as a result of that Torah ability, Torah possibility, so she cannot be released to marry anyone she wants, just because there's a rabbinic prohibition in marrying her. On the other hand, she cannot do the Yibum because there is a prohibition. So, Chalitza is the only option. The next, and what's the next category? Isur Kedusha. What is included in that? So we have examples. Amona L'Kohen Gadol. If you have two brothers that are Kohanim, and one of the brothers, the brother that survives, happens to be the Kohen Gadol, so he cannot do Yibum with a widow. A Kohen Gadol must marry, from the Torah standpoint, a virgin woman that was never married. So a widow doesn't fit into the requirements for a Kohen Gadol. Grusha v'chalutzu l'kohen hedyot, if a woman is a divorcee, or she was once participatory in Chalitza, so, and the surviving brother, two brothers that were Kohanim, so the surviving brother obviously is a Kohen, he will not be able to do Yibum with the Grusha, with the divorcee, or the Chalitza. Mamzeres and Nesina l'Yisrael, Mamzeres and Nesina are types of illegitimate people. Mamzeres is a girl that's born from parents that were forbidden to cohabit with one another, and an Asina is a descendant from a people that had attempted to join the ranks of Israel, but were not accepted, and hence their descendants are forbidden to join the Jewish people. Ubas Yisrael lenosin umamzer. If you have the widow is a fine, upstanding woman, fine genealogical background, but one of the brothers is either a Nosin or Mamzer, so there will be no Yibum. But there is Chalitza. As we said in the Mishnah, Isur Mitzvah, Isur Kedusha, Choletzes Velo Misyabemes. As is often the case in Mishnayos that use the term klal or kol, the Gemara wants to know, what do these words come to include? Klal, la suyemai. The arrow indicates where this word was seen in the Mishnah. The line above, you can see at the beginning of the line where the arrow is, a few lines up, the beginning of the Mishnah. So what does the word klal come to include? And what is included in those that are loy choletzis velomis yabemis, that don't do chalitza nor yibum? Now, before we get into the Gemara, we notice there are markings on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading. We have triangles that appear in two different directions. These represent Shnei Lishonis, and they're also accompanied by Roman numerals 1 and 2. They represent Shnei Lishonis im Mishnosenu Oiseris Tsoras Islandis Beyibum. The term Tsoras Islandis is a term we encountered at the very beginning of this Masechta. You have, of course, Reuven is married to two wives, and he dies leaving no children. Shimon is a surviving brother. Now, one of the two wives was an Islandis. This is a woman that is incapable of conceiving and bearing children. She doesn't develop physiologically in a normal way, and she hence is referred to as an Islandis. A woman who is incapable of procreation is excluded from the mitzvah of Yibum, because the whole purpose of Yibum is, from the Torah standpoint at least, is in order to present a chance for a child to be born, which would carry on the name of the deceased. What about the co-wife of an Islandis? It should be pointed out, when we learned the Mishnah, the opening of the Mishnah said, Kol Ishesur Yisur V'loi Choletzis V'lo Misyabemes. Rashi, at the beginning of the Mishnah, said, Lo Choletzis V'lo Misyabemes Sarasa V'kol Shekenhi. The co-wife, and certainly the Erva herself. So the Mishnah was alluding to the co-wife as well. So the Mishnah uses an inclusionary expression, klal omru. So who else is included that besides an isur erva? A woman who is an islandess is not a woman that one is prohibited in marrying in standard matrimony. So she's not an erva per se. However, when the husband dies, leaving no children, vis-a-vis her brother-in-law, she is called an Eishes Ach. And generally, an Eishes Ach where there are no children, so there's a mitzvah of Yibum. However, she is incapable of procreation. So she becomes an Erva, a forbidden woman. Does her status as an Islandess impose restriction or exemption on her co-wife? So, we now turn back to the Gemara. Klal asuyemai, the word klal, what is being included as another example of loy chilesis v'lomis yabemis? Omer Rafron bar popo la'asuyay, to include tsoras islandis uchdraf asi, to include the case of the co-wife of an islandis, as is the opinion of Rav Asi. So our Mishnah would be a basis or a source for Rav Asi, that not only is the standard forbidden relative exempt from Yibum and her co-wife, but the co-wife of an islandess widow is also exempt. The Iko Diamri, another version, Kol She'isura Isur Erva Hu Dasir Tsirasa. Another approach to the Mishnah is that any woman whose prohibition is based on erva, then and only then does the co-wife become prohibited. Ha lo isura isur erva. If her exclusion from Yibum is not because of her relative status, sarasa lo asira. So you might have a situation of a woman being excluded from Yibum, but since it's not an erva-based prohibition, the co-wife will not be exempted. Limutemai, so who is in fact being excluded by this? In other words, we say only Isur Ervas impose restriction on co-wives. Non-Isur Ervas, though they themselves might be also, do not impose exclusion with regard to co-wives. So who is in that category? Omar Rachram, Limute Tsaras Ailinus, Udoloi Karavasi. What our Mishnah would be doing is excluding the case of the co-wife of the Ailinus as being exempt. The Ailinus herself is exempt from Mitzvah Yibum, as we explained, she's not capable of procreation. But she, the root of her problem, or of her exclusion from Yibum, is not an Erva-based root. It's because of her incapacity of procreation. That does not shed light, or does not cast an exemption on the co-wife. And hence the co-wife would be obligated in Yibum. And that's not in accordance with Ravasi. So we have two versions in what our Mishnah's attitude would be toward Tsaras Ailinus. Achosa Shivimta, Achosa Deman. The Mishnah was fairly vague. It said, her sister when she is also a Yavama. Whose sister? He lema the Isur Mitzvah. If you're going to say that it's coming on that section of the Mishnah, which we called in our markings the Gimel section, is coming on the heels of what preceded it. So her sister, as a pronoun, would be referring to the sister of an Isur Mitzvah. So I lema, if you're going to say that the sister of an Isur Mitzvah, and we explained in the Mishnah that an Isur Mitzvah was a rabbinically forbidden woman. So if we're referring to her sister, well, Kevon Dimidoraisa Ramyo Kamei, since on a Torah level, the Isur Mitzvah is eligible for Yibum. And now you would have two sisters that are Yevomus with regard to a surviving brother, as we saw before in the case of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So if Levi is confronted by two women that happen to be sisters, and one sister is simply Osur Midrabbanan, how can the Mishnah say Choletzes O Misyabemes, that Levi would be able to do Yibum with the other one? But since on a Torah level they're both available, and being that they are sisters, any one that you choose would be the sister of someone who is connected to you. That's called Achoisa Kukoso. We wouldn't allow Levi to marry even the non-Isur Mitzvah widow, because the Isur Mitzvah is her sister, and the Isur Mitzvah is only an Isur Durabonim in Doraisa. She's also eligible for the Yibum, and you cannot marry in Yibum a woman who is the sister of another woman who is also eligible for Yibum. That's called Achos Zukukoso. So obviously then, Achosa, her sister, the pronoun that appeared in this section, in the section Gimel of the Mishnah, is not referring to the sister of an Isur Mitzvah. Elo Achosa the Isur Erva. It would have to be the sister of a woman who fell to Yibum, but she was prohibited to Levi on grounds of her being an Erva, a forbidden woman, punishable by Kores. And we illustrated that before with our diagram where we said Leah was an Erva to Levi, so that even though Levi's brother died leaving Leah as a Yavama, and Shimon died leaving her sister as well as a Yavama, since Leah is not Zekuka to Levi, being that she is an Erva to Levi, Levi will be able to do Yibum with Rachel. Rachel is not called Achos Zikukasai. Now, we have a new section of the Gemara. On the side, we have a Noseya topic heading, where we've written, Machloikis Tanoyim, Ma Nichlal Be'isur Mitzvah, Be'isur Kedusha. What is included in these terms? Now, under the Mivneh heading, we have a volcano shape, a trapezoid, and we call this a Havlata, an attempt to highlight Isur Mitzvah and Isur Kedusha. And you'll notice the volcano shape becomes inverted a couple lines later, Pirush Hafuch. You'll see an opposite explanation. Isur Mitzvah, the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, are Shniyos. Those are women that are rabbinically prohibited. Amai Kori Lei Isur Mitzvah. Why are those that are rabbinically restricted referred to by that term? Amar Abaye, Mitzvah Lishmoya Divrei Chachamim. Because of this concept that one is commanded, one is obligated to heed the ruling of the sages. So Mitzvah Lishmoya, the mitzvah to abide by rulings of sages, hence the term Isur Mitzvah is associated with rabbinic prohibition. Isur Kedusha, Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha L'Chutz L'Kohen Hedya. V'amai Kori Lahu Isur Kedusha. Why are these types of women referred to by that term? Answer, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Kedoshim Yu Lei Lo Kehem. This pasuk is in the context of the Kohanim. The Kohanim are termed to be holy or sanctified unto the Almighty. So that women that are prohibited to Kohanim fall under that heading. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Machlif. Rabbi Yehuda switches around the titles with the examples. Isur Mitzvah equals Almona L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha V'Chalitza L'Kohen Hedyo. V'amai Kori Lei Isur Mitzvah. Why is the term Isur Mitzvah associated with these Kohen-type restrictions? Dichtiv, Eile HaMitzvahs. And this pasuk appears at the end of Sefer Vayikra. And the pasuk appears to be referring to all of the prohibitions referred to in Sefer Vayikra, which includes Kohen restrictions. Sefer Vayikra is also known as Torah's Kohanim, the laws concerning Kohanim. So, since at the end of the book of Leviticus, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, you see the term Eile HaMitzvos, so that includes Kohen-related matters. So, women that are prohibited to Kohanim are called Isur Mitzvah. Isur Kedusha equals Shniyos Midivrei Sofrim. The types of women that are prohibited on a rabbinic level. V'amai Kori Loi Isur Kedusha. Why are rabbinic prohibitions referred to by that term? So we have here two stages of analysis. Omar Abaye, Kol HaMekayim Divrei Chachomim Nikro Kodesh. Kadosh. He who upholds the ruling of the sages, who abides by their rulings, is called holy. Omar le Rava. Rava questions Abaye's description, his definition. V'chol she'eino mekayim divrei chachomim. Kadosh hu delo mikri, rosh hanami lo mikri. From what you, Abaye, say, you suggest that he who upholds the rulings of the sages is called holy, leaving room to think that he who does not uphold the ruling of the sages is not called holy. He's called common, we'll say, but he's not wicked. That's not true. If someone is a violator of the teachings of the sages, of rabbinic laws, he is a rasha. He is wicked. So that to explain the term Isur Kedusha by virtue of the practitioners of rabbinic laws being called Kadosh leaves room for this this error. Elo Omar Rava, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Loch. Literally, sanctify yourself by withholding from engaging in things that are, technically speaking, allowed. So when we speak about these women, from the Torah standpoint, the shnios, women that are deemed to be rabbinically forbidden, the Torah allows us to cohabit with them. The rabbis impose a restriction on that which otherwise is allowed. This concept of self-imposed restriction, self-imposed meaning rabbinically imposed restriction on that which otherwise is allowed, is reason for being classified as holy or sanctified. The Rashi adds the reason for these women being included as prohibited is in order to safeguard the Torah restricted women. Oftentimes, and you find this throughout the Torah literature, that the rabbis imposed restrictions so as to distance people from actual Torah level violations. Almona l'kohen gadol. The Mishnah taught that an isur, we'll say an isur mitzvah, exactly which term applies to what, as you just saw, is a machlokas tanoim, but this restriction of kohanim includes an almona to a kohen gadol. She is an almona that, as a result of her husband dying, leaving no children, and a surviving brother of husband, a high priest, a kohen gadol, she's called an almona. She is a widow. But what level of matrimony had she reached with her husband while he was alive? Did they actually consummate their marriage, or was she simply an arusa? Arusa is the first stage in Jewish matrimony, where money is given, money equivalent is given to a woman. There are other means of accomplishing erusin or kiddushin, but we don't have to get into that now. That creates what we call a first stage of marriage. She's considered a married woman. However, their marriage has not been consummated by an intimacy. That is called nisuin. At the point of erusin, so she is considered a married woman, but she's still, physiologically, still a virgin. She's still what's called a basula. The Torah, when it speaks about a kohen gadol, it tells us that he is not allowed to marry a widow, and that he must marry a basula. That's by way of background information. It's important to try to keep that in mind. The Mishnah tells us that an almona will do an almona that falls b'yibum to a kohen gadol. So we say choyletzes v'lo misyabemes. She will not do yibum. Kaposik v'toni. The Mishnah teaches the case of almona to kohen gadol in an unqualified fashion. Lo shna min hanisuin v'lo shna min ha'irisin, making no distinction regarding that almona. Is she a widow from having had a consummated marriage with her husband, or not, merely having entered into the erusin level, reaching only the erusin level of matrimony, not yet having cohabited with her original husband. In both cases, it seems that an almona, whether she's min hanisuin or erusin, or even the unconsummated marriage level widow, is prohibited in marrying in Yibum the brother Kohen Gadol. Bishlamo min hanisuin, I can understand the Isur, the prohibition of Yibum with an almona from Nisuin. Ase v'lo isase, the almona min hanisuin, an almona, a widow that had a consummated marriage with her husband. So she, to the Kohen Gadol, represents two problems, two mitzvah problems. One a positive command and one a negative command. She incorporates an aseh is the positive command of a kohen gadol to marry a basula. That's a positive command in the Torah, and since she is an almona from Nisuin, she's no longer a basula. So that's one reason that the kohen gadol is forbidden to her. And v'lo yisaseh. There's a negative command in the Torah where the Torah says, "Thou shalt not marry a widow." On the other side of the equation, you have a positive command to do the mitzvah of yibum. Well, that positive command is not capable of superseding a positive plus negative. V'ein aseh, the positive command of yibum, is incapable of doiche, of superseding a loisase ve'ase. On the widow side of things, you've got the loisase of her being an almona and the ase of besula. So that makes sense, that there's no yibum with a kohen gadol and an almona min hanisuin. Elo min ho erusin, the widow was a fresh wife. In other words, she wasn't even fully married in the sense of consummating their marriage through intimacy. That hadn't even taken place, and the husband died, so she was an almono from Erusin. She's still a virgin. She's still a basula. Loisa segredahu. Her only problem with regard to the brother who is a kohen gadol, the surviving brother who is a kohen gadol, the only problem she presents to him is her being a widow. Greda means alone. It's lo sase greda, it's a word, simple or a mere singular problem of being an almona. As far as the basula problem is concerned, that doesn't exist here because she's a widow from the Erusin stage. Yovoi asei v'yidcha lois asei. Why not apply the well-known rule of the Torah that a positive command, which in this case is yibum, supersedes a negative command, a lois asei. In this case, what's the lois asei? The Yisrael mona. So as far as rules of Torah precedents, we say positive commands overrule negative commands. That, of course, is a very broad statement. One has to know how to apply it, when, generally speaking, the rule says that the positive command overrules the negative command when they are simultaneous. When at the time that you are violating the negative command, you are fulfilling the positive command, and that would be the case here when, in the act of intimacy between the surviving brother who is a kohen gadol and the widow from Erusin, so the positive command of yibum that they are fulfilling at that moment should be able to supersede the prohibition that she presents to the kohen gadol as her being an almona. The question then has been asked. On the side of our Gemara, under the Nosei, the topic heading, this is exactly what we have written. Amai, we've written on the side, Amai almona min Erusin, eino misyabemis lekohen gadol. Why is it that the almona, the widow from Erusin, does not do yibum with the kohen gadol? Yovoi asei di yibum, let the positive command of yibum come along, v'yitcheloisa, said almona, and overrule the negative command of the kohen gadol not being allowed to marry a widow. Structurally, we have house markings. These represent shuvos l'she'elas hanal. Iser yibum almono min ho'erusin l'kohen gadol. We have to be able to explain, to answer the question we just raised. So these house markings introduce answers. Notice if you skim ahead, this topic will preoccupy us for the balance of today's shiur. This we see a series of answers taking you down all the way down Amud Beis till you get to number 5. The Gemara continues. Omar of Gidol Amarav, Omar Kra. There is a pasuk, and we note the pasuk Dvarim Perichov Hei, pasuk Zayin. Before we read the Gemara which quotes the pasuk in a somewhat abbreviated fashion, let's glance at the side where we have the complete pasuk. It says, "V'iloi yachpots ho'ish l'kachas es yivimto." If the surviving brother does not want to marry her, the widow, "V'olsa yivimtoi hashara el hazkenim." They then rise to the gate of the city where the elders are seated. The Omra, and she declares, "May ein yivami lokim lochiv shem b'Yisrael lo ova yabmi," that my brother-in-law here refuses to maintain the name of his brother, and he doesn't want to marry me. Now, in the pasuk at the beginning, there seemed to be a certain level of, say, redundancy. It said at the beginning, "Im lo yachpots ish lo kachas es yivimto," if the man doesn't want to marry the yivama, the also yivimto. It repeats the word yivimto, and then the yivimto goes up to the gate. But it's clear who would be going to the gate. You just mentioned yivimto. So now the Gemara explains. Omar Kra. V'olsa yivimto hashara. She'ein tamad lomar yivimto. You don't need the word yivimto at this point in the pasuk. It was mentioned just two words before. Ma tamad lomar yivimto. Why is the word yivimto appearing a second time? Answer. Yesh l'cho yivoma acheres. There's another case of yivoma. She'oyle l'chalitza. That she rises, literally, she rises to the mitzvah of chalitza, but does not rise to yibum. The Azo, and what is that? Zu chayvei lavin. As opposed to standard yivamas that are eligible for chalitza or yibum, this one is eligible only for chalitza and not for yibum. And who is that? Chayvei lavin. Those women that are prevented from the mitzvah based on a negative command in the Torah. Like an almona min ha'erusin. So that it's true that we have a rule of asei doicha lo yisaseh in general. But in the case of yibum, a woman who is proscribed based on her low status will not be eligible for yibum. So again, we repeat. Even though in general there is a rule that asei doicha lo yisaseh, not in the case of yibum. The asei of yibum is not doche a woman who is restricted based on her lo yisaseh status. The Rashi elaborates a bit, and let's take a look at Rashi. The also toward the end of the narrow lines, the also hashara motzi lemichtav. The Torah could have simply written the also hashara without adding the word yivimto. Toksid bereisha dekra lo kachas es yivimto ma tamalom yivimto. The Torah already said who we are. The subject of the sentence was yivimto. Why do you have to repeat that? And then Rashi elaborates how you see this in the pasuk. Yesh l'cho yevoma, the im kosav, Rashi goes on, the if it had said, v'lo yachpoi tzu'ish, v'kachas es yevimtoi, v'olso hashara, without, again, inserting the word yevimto after v'olso, havim mashma, de'ahi de'karino bei lokachas, the woman to whom lokachas applies. Lokachas means to marry. Who the komatzricha rachmona the also hashara lachlos. In other words, only women that have the capacity of doing yibum, if they should desire otherwise, then chalitza would be done. Avol chayve lavin de lo karina behu lokachas. However, women that are proscribed based on their negative command status, whereby we cannot refer to them the possibility of lokachas of marrying, lo karinon bo vi alsa. I wouldn't refer to them at the need for chalitza. So that had the word yivimto not been inserted, I would have created a formula as follows. A woman who is eligible to be taken, she has the potential of chalitza. A woman who is not eligible to be taken, for example, a woman who is banned by a lav status, there is no need for chalitza. Lahachi hadar kosav yevimto lememar. Therefore, the Torah writes yevimto a second time to tell us, "Tiyesh l'cho yevoma cheres." There's another kind of yevoma. She'oil hashar alachlo tzvachol gavda lo ksiv ba lo kachas she'en oil libum. That even though she does not, she is not capable of being taken, but nevertheless she will have chalitza. That's what the extra Yevoma, Yevimta word communicates. The Gemara asks, well, if that be the case, the Emo Chayve Krisus, maybe then even a woman who is also to you as an Erva, who if you would cohabit with her be a punishment of Kores, maybe she too, although there is no Yibum, there should be Chalitza. And we know that there's no Chalitza with an Erva. Omar Kro, so like how do we know this? The Pasuk says, Im lo yachpotso ish lo kachas. The very Pasuk that we read. If he doesn't want to take her, is what how the Pasuk began. Ha chofetz mi'abeim. That implies that if he would desire to take her, he would be able to. From the Pasuk and its inference, a rule develops. Anyone who is eligible for Yibum is also eligible for Chalitza. Anyone who is not eligible to be married is not necessary in the case that they desire. Otherwise, no Chalitza is necessary. So we can just plug in the case of Chiyuv Kores to this formula. Is a chiyuv kores someone who's oyla liyibum? No. As a result of that, no need for chalitza. Ihachi chayve lavin nami. Well then, we're doing a ping pong game here. That if that be the case, then the chayve lavin, they are not oyla liyibum, so they're not eligible for yibum, so there should be no chalitza. The Gemara says, what can you do though? Ha Ravi Rachmani Yevimto. But we have the extra word, Yevimto, that as we saw in the Gemara and the Rashi, is telling me that there is a chalitza necessity in the case of the Chayve Lavin. The Gemara asks, Uma Rois, what is it that you see to say that Chayve Lavin do chalitza and not the Chayve Krisus? It would seem to be arbitrary at this point. We have this push and pull situation where on the one hand you have the Torah exempting from chalitza altogether, on the other hand we have the Torah expecting chalitza. What is it, what makes it such that you choose that the Chayve Lavin require the chalitza and the Chayve Krisus are exempt completely from chalitza? Answer, we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Mistabra, it's most likely Chayve Lavin Tafsi Behu Kedushin. Chayve Krisus Lo Tafsi Behu Kedushin. Chayve Lavin are women that we say one is not allowed to marry but do not carry with them a penalty of Kores. Hence, we have there's a legal concept that matrimony, even though it's not allowed, but the married status will take hold if one attempts to betroth an Isor Lav. That's Tafsi Bu Kedushin. Kedushin is a married status, takes hold. As a result of that, the Pasuk that used the word, the Pasuk that we read, used the word Lokachas. If we read the phrase again, the Pasuk said, Im lo yachpoitzu ish lo kachas. The concept of he desires not to take her. Take her implying taking her and becoming married with her. The potential for being married exists within the realm of Chayvei Lavin. So the pasuk is the pasuk with the extra word Yevinto is referring to that case. Chayvei Krisus, on the other hand, there is no Tfisas Kedushin to begin with. Therefore, she's not the subject of the pasuk, and therefore, with regard to the Chayvei Krisus, it cannot be said that there is a need for chalitza. The pasuk, which referred to a need for chalitza, has to be referring to a type of woman where there could have been a potential for a married status. As we continue, a new geometric form appears on the side. You can see under the mivneh, the diamond, and there's an underlined name that follows, are kushos sherova male, questions that Rava, whose name is underlined, you see it here, and the next question as well, mimakoros, from sources. And he raises a question, al hayesoid shel Rav, on the principle of Rav, de chayve lavin, midoraisa lechalitza ramya leyibum lo ramya. The principle that we've been shown till now is that Chayvei Lavin on a Torah level, and I emphasize that, on a Torah level, are subject to Chalitza and not to Yibum. Mosiv Rava. Rava challenges that principle of Rav. The source says, Isur Mitzvah, the Isur Kedusha, in the case of a Yavam who means he has intimacy with the Yavama, or he does a shoe removal, he participates in shoe removal, the co-wife is thereby freed. Now let me just back up for 1 second. In general, in a normal Yibum situation where Reuven dies leaving two wives, and Yibum is done with one of the two, the other one is actually freed. It's Niftarot Sarasa. That's standard procedure. Here we have a woman who is prohibited, Iser Mitzvah, Iser Kedusha, and it says that if the Yavam cohabits with her, so it frees the co-wife. The E Salka Daitoch Chayvei Lavin Midoraisa lechalitza ramya leyibum loy ramya. If you are going to say, as Rav implied, that a chayev lav is available only for chalitza, but the Torah does not recognize yibum done with a chayve lavin, ki bo oleha, when the surviving brother cohabits with her, amai niftarot sarasa, how does that have the effect of releasing the co-wife? Just to repeat the question, if the Torah, according as Rav says, doesn't recognize bia, cohabitation, with an isur mitzvah, so it should have no strength, it should have no legal value. How does that then effectively release the co-wife that otherwise is bound to the Yavam? Who moisiv law, who mefarik law? Rava raised the question. He also undoes the question. He answers it. Litzdodin kotoni. The source that we read is really to be separated into its component parts. That's litzdodin, literally to the side, each section to its own side. Bo oleha, the effectiveness of the bia, of the cohabitation, that is a isur mitzvah, which was referred to at the beginning of this source. That an isur mitzvah, it means a woman who is usur only midorabonan. Now, midoraisa, she is able to do yibum. So the cohabitation is effective if it is with an isur mitzvah. Cholatz law, the source that spoke about chalitza as being the means of releasing the co-wife, that's a isur kedusha. That has relevance to the isur kedusha, to the women that are forbidden on a Torah level, isur lav. So that when you refer to those kind of women, then only chalitza will release the co-wife. The yibum, in fact, as Rav said, is not recognized. Mosiv Rava. Again, here we have a question Rava presents. It's a long question. The source that we are about to learn deals with, there are, of course, two brothers, but one of the brothers has a defect. He is incapable. He's a, of course, we're talking about a man, and his male reproductive organs are defective by virtue of some kind of impact or incision that happened to have been made over there. And that renders him what's called in the Torah a Ptsua Daka Krus Shavcha. These are different expressions that refer to called sterile men. Ptsua Daka Krus Shavcha, and we should point out that a man who has experienced these, we'll call impact on his reproductive organs, the Torah says he shall not marry into the Klal Yisrael. He's forbidden to marry into the congregation of Israel. If you're asking, well, who can he marry then? That's already a separate discussion. But as far as a standard Jewish women are off limits to a Ptsua Daka. So we see in the source, there's a lot of information in the source, but after the source, after the frame section, you'll see how we get back onto the topic of Yisak Levent, the Chayvei Lav, and the Raisa are not available for Yibum, so the question will then come to a head over there. But in the meantime, let's see what it says in the source. Ptsua Daka Kus Shavcha Sris Adam. Sris Adam means a man who was sterilized because of human intervention. V'hazokain, or a person who is elderly. He no longer can bear, he can no longer produce seed. Truth is that he is not someone that is usur as a chiyuv lav, but he is incapable of producing seed. Oy cholzin o miabnen. So chalitza or yibum is an option. Ketzad. So the source continues. It's broken down into two parts. You have aleph here. Mesu means deficient male dies, leaving a regular brother. And on the second half of the source, you see where it says the beis and also double underline. You can see mesu achim, where the healthy brother dies, leaving only the ptsua daka. So the source continues. Mesu, if the ptsua daka and company die, that means you have two brothers, one of whom was a ptsua daka, Reuven and Shimon. Now let's say Reuven was the ptsua daka, and he dies. Velohem noshim, velohem achim. These deficient ones have wives, and they also have brothers. V'omdu achim v'osu maimer b'nishosehem, and the normal brother got up and he offered money to the wife of the ptsua daka, to the widow, or v'nas nuget v'cholsu or chalitza. They give a divorce document to her. You know, as the surviving brother gave her a divorce document, or he did chalitza with her. Masha osu osu. What is done is done. V'imbalu kanu. If the normal brother has intimacy with her as a yavama, so that is also effective. The Tosfos points out that even though the source uses the term imbalu, that sounds like it's something that's only good b'dieved, it is in fact one can choose that root even lechatchila. The source continues, Beis, with the second double underline, Mesu Achim, V'yomdu Heim. The healthy brother dies, leaving widows, and the Ptsua Daka remains alive. You know, there's an opposite scenario. And they got up, and V'yosu Maimer, B'nishosem, V'nosu Get, O Shechotsu, Ma She'osu Osu,
V'im Ba'alu Kanu. Now this is the only point we need to focus on right now. If the Psuadaka engages in intimacy with the widows of their healthy brothers, so it's effective. Kanu. V'osu L'kaimon. And it's also to continue living with them afterwards. Mishum Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Lo Yovo Psuadaka, that a Psuadaka is not allowed to marry into the congregation of Israel. So in this case, we have a Psuadaka Yavam, who he is the one that remains. His healthy brother died, leaving a window. And it says, if he did Bia, then it is Koine. Now the Gemara asks, V'i Salka Daito Chai Ve'lavin Midoraisa L'chalitza Ramya Li'ibum Lo Ramya. If you're going to say, as Rav said at the outset, that Chai Ve'lavin, and here we're talking about Chiyuv Lavin in our discussion of Lo Yavo, you can see it says, do not enter Psuadaka. That if it's so that Chai Ve'lavin are available on the Torah level for Chalitza and not for Yibum, why then would it say that if they cohabit, that it creates an effective matrimony? But the Torah doesn't recognize, according to Rav, the bia of a chayve lavin in the Yibum context. Elo omar rava. So this leads us to a second approach. But the original question had been, why does an almona minu erisin, why is she exempted from yibum? Why do we say only chalitza? Why not say the asay of yibum is doche, the lois asay of almona? So Rava says, almona l'kohen gadol minu erisin nami asay v'lois asehu. The case of almona minu erisin, contrary to what we thought before, was only a problem of a loisa. I said, no, there's a positive command associated with the Amon and Erisin as well. Dichtiv, kedoshim yu leilo kehem. This is a positive command that the kohanim shall be sanctified. Therefore, it's the case of Amon and Erisin is not a mere lav. And it's since it's not a mere lav, there's no room for saying the asay should come and doicha supersede the loisa asay. And why is that? Because almona, even min erisin, has upon her a lav and an asay. The Gemara asks, mamzeres unesina mai iko lemeimar. Why don't we say, in the case of a mamzeres unesina, that the asay of Yibum should come and supersede the lois asay of Mamzeres? We have a little star indicating to look at Omid Aleph. If you go back to Omid Aleph and find the corresponding star, you see in the Mishnah it said that Mamzeres and the Sin Israel came under the heading of Isur Kedusha, and regarding that we said Chaletzes v'lo misyabemes, Yibum is not an option. Why isn't Yibum an option with a Mamzeres or a Nesina? Just say, Aseh, Doicha Lois Aseh. The Gemara answers, Ksiv V'his Kadishtem. That indicates a positive command as well. So that the Aseh of Yibum cannot overrule a negative plus positive. Ihochi Kol HaTorah Kula Nami Aseh V'lois Asehu. Dichtiv V'his Kadishtem. Well, and every mitzvah of the Torah carries with it a positive command along with the explicit negative command. And it appears to me that the question here is, then you'll never be able to apply the rule of Aseh Doichel Aseh, which is a rule we know that we do apply. But if you're going to say that in the case of Mamzeres and Nesina, there's a positive end of his Kadishtem, and that prevents us from saying Yavu Aseh V'Yitchel Lois Aseh, you'll never be able to say Yavu Aseh V'Yitchel Lois Aseh. So that this approach also isn't satisfactory. So we go back to the original question. Why does the Torah restrict Yibum with an almona min erisin? Yibum with a kohen gadol and almona min erisin. Elo omar rava. You notice this is the third stage in trying to find an answer. And the triangle that you can see
is explained on the side under the Mivneh heading, Havlotas Rava Kemisha Mamshech Menesinas Chuvos Mi Shtayim Ad Chamesh. From answers 2 through 5, you see that Rava is attempting to give answers to the question, Amaye Nibu Ben Amona Menerosin V'Koin Godol. So here we have the third approach. It's the second time that Rava tries to do it, but he says, "Zera almona min erusin otu almona min esuin." We have a rabbinic restriction. Don't allow yibum in the case of almona min erusin, because that could lead to people not understanding things properly, and they'll end up doing yibum with an almona min anesuin. So as a result of that fear of their making the mistake, we say no yibum with almona min erusin. Even though, technically speaking, the aseh is derech lois aseh, but if we go ahead with that, there's another pitfall. So we restrict even that which is allowed, namely almona min erusin. Why? Because one could come to allow a case of yibum between a kohen gadol and an almona min anisuin. What about the case of why then do we not allow yibum with a mamzeres or a nesina? Answer: there too, gezeira b'mokim mitzvah, atu shelo b'mokim mitzvah. The rabbis impose a restriction. Don't even get started. Don't allow yibum with a mamzeres, even though technically there's an aseh of yibum is doifah the loy saseh of loy avu mamzer b'kal Hashem. But don't get started, because if we allow that, you'll end up allowing marriages with mamzer, with a mamzer, even shaloi b'moka mitzvah. Elomeato, eishes ochiv me oviv lotis yabim. We should basically stop all yibum where you have eishes, the wife of one's brother from common father. It's a half brother from the two brothers, the one that died and the surviving one, are both from the same father. We should not have yibum done. Gezeira mishum eishes achiv meimo. The fear that people will then practice yibum even with half brothers from a common mother. And by the way, there is no mitzvah of yibum. You have to have a common father. So there seems reason enough to prevent yibum even in the allowed case, because of this svara of gezeira. We're fearful that you might come to allow a marriage or yibum within a prohibited mate. The Gemara says that is not a problem. Yibum benachla tola rachmana meida yediya. Yibum is dependent on inheritance. The concept of inheritance applies to yibum, and since yibum is dependent upon the concept of inheritance, and women are not do not bequeath properties. They do not bequeath, or I should say more accurately, women do not inherit. Therefore, the fear that I'll end up doing yibum with an eishes, the wife of an achiv me'imo, is an unfounded fear. Once again, because the rules of yibum are interdependent with the rules of inheritance, and inheritance is what one inherits from his father. So people will know. And women, on the other hand, are not an integral part of the rules of inheritance. And here we're being very general in our comments, because the topic of inheritance itself is rather broad. But in general, when a person dies, so the sons inherit, the women, the females don't inherit. Again, it's only in very general terms. Just to read the last line again, Yibum b'nachlo tola rachmona meida yadiyah. Since the rules of Yibum are dependent on nachlo, people will know. If we be a little more specific, if you have two brothers that have a common mother but don't have a common father, so when one of those brothers dies, the other brother is not in the line of inheritance because they don't have a common father. Only that the deceased's relatives that have a common patriarchal line will inherit him. Question: Isha she'en lo bonim lo tizyabim. This is a standard case of Yibum. A woman dies, leaving no children with her husband, should not do Yibum gzeru mishum isha she'esh lo bonim, in anticipation of the case of a woman who dies that did have children with her husband. That case is strictly forbidden. A man who dies leaving children, so the surviving widow certainly does not do Yibum. She's an erva of Eshes Ach. But maybe even the case where no children are left should be, we should not allow Yibum because, or in anticipation of people confusing it with a woman who did have children with her husband. The Gemara says people aren't going to make that mistake. Bebonim tola rachmana meida yadia. The whole mitzvah of Yibum is dependent on children, so people will not make that mistake. Question: Eishes achiv shahoya boilamo. Again, a normal case of Yibum involves a case of two brothers that coexisted. But let us prohibit Yibum. Gezeiro mishum eishes achiv shalohoya boilamo. This is a topic we discussed at great length recently. The wife, the widow of a brother that did not coexist with the surviving brother, so that woman is strictly off limits, so that we should ban all cases of Yibum in anticipation of someone marrying of a brother born after the demise of the first one. The Gemara says people aren't going to make that mistake. B'yeshiva tola rachmana meida yadia. The pasuk itself says ki yeshvu achim yachdov, when two brothers dwell together, they coexist. So people will understand that only in that case is there yibum, and not in the case of a brother with whom he did not coexist. So there's no reason for banning something that people won't make a mistake about. Question: Kol hanoshim lo tisyav neno. All women shouldn't be participants in Yibum. Gzeira mishum eiliness, because of the case of the woman, the widow, who in fact was an eiliness, and we know she is excluded because she can't procreate. But let us ban all cases of Yibum in anticipation of the woman who is a widow and an eiliness. The Gemara says lo shchicha. It's uncommon. Rabbis don't impose restrictions in cases that are uncommon, so that we can allow Yibum to take place, and we're not fearful that people are going to allow Yibum in the case of an eiliness. The Gemara asks, well, Mamzeres Unesino Nami Lo Shchicha. Notice we have an arrow which indicates earlier where we saw Mamzeres Unesino figuring in the discussion. But we have a note also at the side. Being that Mamzeres Unesino is Lo Shicha, V'lochein, we're reading our note, V'lochein Ein Mokoim Lesor Yibumo Mishum Gzer Otu Shalobo Moko Mitzvah. Above, when we spoke about the Mamzeres Unesino, we said, let the Asay of Yibum be Doicha V'loisa Asay of Mamzeres. So the Gemara gave an answer there. Well, we're not going to say that because we're imposing a restriction of b'mokim mitzvah, which is the case of Yibum, in anticipation of shelo b'mokim mitzvah. But right now you're saying that the case is unusual. The case of Mamzeres Nesina is unusual. So that our note continues. we're saying that there is no room to give that answer of shelo b'makom mitzvah kedi ratzonel ekev kach royim shehesbro isur mishum gzeira otu yevume isur eino maspik v'lochein rova magia l'tshuva chadosha. Just to repeat this last point, the Hesper, the explanation that we were using in number three, house number three, of banning Yibum in problematic cases on the grounds of Aseh Doicheloi Saseh, simply because I could come to a case where it's not B'mokoim mitzvah. So that explanation is weakened because of the question we're asking right now from the case of Mamzeres Unesina. Elo Oma Ravos. We continue in the Gemara. Gzeira, why? Again, that's because we can lose sight of the forest for the trees very easily. What are we coming to answer? Why is it that Almona Min Ha'erisin does not do Yibum with a Kohen Gadol? So Rava explains, Gzeira Bia Rishona, Otu Bia Shnia. If we allow the first act of intimacy, which in fact is a mitzvah, and we could say Aseh Doicheloi Saseh, nevertheless they might continue living together. The second Bia, that's no longer the act of Yibum, and you're left with the negative command of a Kohen Gadol being with an Almona. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Brisa supports this. Im Boalu Konu, if Bia is done, so they acquire one another in marriage. That's B'Bia Rishona. That applies to the first act. So and that's based on the concept of the Aseh Doicheloi Saseh. However, the Osu Lekaimon, it's also for them to continue being together. B'bia shnia. That's a reference to the second act of intimacy onwards, where that's no longer an act of yibum. Hodar Omar Rava, v'itemo Ravashi. Then Rava said, and some versions have it as Ravashi, lav milsa hi the amri. That which I have said is not accurate. Rashi says, "Lav milsi de amri de babia rishona habia shori lechatchila, ilav mishum gzeras biyashnia, de vaday afilu biyo rishona asura." Up till this point, Rava gave us the impression that the biyo rishona on a Torah level is fine, if not for the rabbinic restriction of or the rabbinic restriction in anticipation of biyashnia, but rather, even the first act of intimacy is forbidden. And we are not going to apply the principle. Rashi goes on to say, V'lo amrinon, titchaseh es lo isaseh, allow the positive command to overrule the negative command. Toha efshir liskayim b'chalitza, b'lo akiras lo isaseh. We're now being introduced to a new principle, or a caveat of the principle of Aseh Doicheloi Saseh, whereby if there's another way of doing things without uprooting the negative command, so then you have no license to go ahead and do that which you would call the positive command. Or to restate that, the performance of the positive command, which in effect uproots the negative command, is not allowed when there is another way to do the mitzvah. And Rava is basing himself on Reish Lakish's principle. We continue in the Gemara. Diyomar Reish Lakish, kol mokim shata moitzi aseh v'loi saseh, wherever you find a positive command confronted by a negative command, imata yochol lekayim shnei mutav, if you can fulfill both, in other words, you can do a positive command and at the same time not uproot the negative command, that's great. V'im lav, if you have no other option, yavo aseh v'yidches lo yisaseh, then and only then will we allow you to do the positive command in effect and thereby uproot the negative command. Hachanami, here too, in the case of the topic of yibum, and here more specifically, yibum of a kohen gadol with an almonim in erusin, efshar b'chalitza. There's the other path, the shoe removal path, which is sanctioned by the Torah as a mitzvah. De mekayim aseh, v'los aseh. You're able to fulfill the mitzvah of chalitza. That's an aseh, a positive command, and maintain the los aseh by not having the kohen gadol marry the almona. Mesvei. The Gemara objects, v'im bo'alu kanu. But we said, according to Rava, right before this question, Rava is saying that the Torah will not allow the yibum with a loisaseh. That means the Torah will not recognize the bia as a means of being koine. But the Tanaic source says in Boalu Kanu, if Bia is done, if intimacy is done, namely not Chalitza, but if intimacy is done, it does create a bond. It does acquire. Tiufta. This is a refutation to what Rava and what Reish Lakish were just trying to say. Itmar. Bias Kohen Gadol be'almona. A kohen gadol who cohabits with his yevama, who is an almona by definition, she's an almona. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lozer, Chad Omar Eino Poteres Tzorasa. The kohen gadol survived; he outlived his brother, who was a standard kohen hedyot, who had died, leaving two wives. In Yibum, as we've said many times, only one of the two wives is chayeves in the mitzvah of Yibum. The other wife is exempted. What about in a case where the act of Yibum is done under, we'll say, questionable circumstances, as the Kohen Gadol who has relations, who is the surviving brother? What effect does his act of Yibum do if he does go ahead and has intimacy with the Yavama, with the widow? What effect does that have on the co-wife, the other wife of the Kohen Hedyot that just died? So one says, Chad Omar, Eina Poteres Tzorasa, it does not have the effect that standard Bias Yibum would have of releasing the Tzora, and in this case, there would be a need for Chalitza. The co-wife would have to do chalitza. The Chad Omar Poteres Tzorasa. Rashi says Poteres Oisa V'es Tzorasa Min HaChalitza. The fact that the Kohen Gadol did the bia with the almona, it releases the co-wife. She doesn't need chalitza, and as far as the widow that the Kohen Gadol chose to miyabem in order to release her at some point in the future, she becomes a full fledged wife and would require then only a get. The Gemara continues at the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Ba'almona min hanisuin kulei alma lo pligi de lo patra. Everyone will agree that if it's an almona min hanesuim, the kohen hedyot died after having consummated his marriage, and the kohen gadol now has the yibum intimacy with the widow, who is not only a widow but she's also a non-besula, everyone agrees that that bia does not release the co-wife. The asay of yibum doesn't supersede the problem of the woman. The fact that she's an almona, that's the loisas, and the fact that she's not a basula anymore. ki pligi, the whole machlokas that we saw at the bottom of Omid Beis, bi almona mina erisin, where the almona that the Kohen Gadol did the act of evil with was an almona that had reached only an erisin level with her husband. Mandomar poteres, the one who says that the act of yibum with her releases the co-wife. Osi asei v'dochi eslos asei. The positive command of yibum supersedes the negative aspect of the almona, and it's a perfectly good yibum marriage. And as any yibum marriage is, the co-wife, the co-widow, if you will, is released without any need for chalitza. Uman de Omar eino poteres. The approach that said that the co-wife is not released through this bia with the first one. Lo osi asei vidochi es loisase. We do not say that the yibum that he does supersedes the negative command of almona. Kevon de efsher bechalitza. Since the chalitza approach was available, and the chalitza approach is another way to do the yibum, to do the mitzvah, fulfill the mitzvah of, well, the context of yibum, without violating the loisaseh. Gemara asks meisvei. According to what you are presenting now, it's very similar to the Gemara we saw earlier. You're saying now that we're not going to be recognizing the act of yibum, the act of intimacy, because there was another way. There was the chalitza route. Ah, but the Tanaic source doesn't agree with that. Meisvei v'im boalu kanu, that if the Kohen Gadol would do the bia with the almona, it is effective. It is recognized. It's sanctioned by the Torah. So that will release the co-wife. Tufta. So this is a refutation of what we just said. In other words, it's a refutation of explaining why the Kohen Gadol bia with the almona min erisin is ineffective. So the Gemara goes on. Lema teve nami tufta de Reish Lakish. Should we say that this Tanaic source refutes Reish Lakish? Now Reish Lakish, let's not forget, he presented a general principle that wherever you can preserve both, you can fulfill the positive and at the same time not supersede the negative. So then you don't have any right to go ahead and do an act that would supersede the negative. So here we see a situation, this case of Yibum, where there is an alternative way, namely the Chalitza way. And yet, if you do the intimacy path, which does involve the superseding of the negative, it's sanctioned, it's acceptable. So does this not repudiate or refute Reish Lakish's principle? Omar Lach Reish Lakish. Ki amino ano, when I presented my rule, hecha de mekaimi mitzvah. That's where the we'll call it the safe path involves your fulfilling of a mitzvah. So where you're fulfilling a mitzvah, and you can do so without superseding the negative command. So then I will tell you to fulfill the mitzvah in that way. Aval hocha, but in the case under discussion, what are you suggesting? To take the chalitza path and thereby preserve the negative as well? Aval hocha, chalitza b'mokom yibum lav mitzvahi. The path of chalitza is not viewed relative or in comparison to yibum. It's such a low level fulfillment, it's not viewed as a mitzvah. So in such a case, the other part of my rule takes over, namely that where you have no choice in order to preserve the negative, you have to do the positive, then you do so. And in the case of yibum, the only option that you have is
because chalitza is not viewed as having significance in comparison to the act of yibum, even Reish Lakish agrees that you are allowed, that the Torah will sanction the act of yibum, even though you have to push aside or supersede the negative command, and in this case, the negative command of almona. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.